Could a widespread ion channelopathy be causing ME/CFS, long COVID, and Gulf War illness? By Court Johnson, August 20th, 2024. The transient receptor potential mellastatin 3, better known as TRPM3, SAGA in chronic fatigue syndrome, ME/CFS, is really something. It's an example of one group, and only one group, glomming onto something in ME/CFS and gnawing at it like a dog with a bone. We've seen this kind of single-minded focus before with John Chia and his work with enteroviruses, the Williams-Ariza group, and their focus on the EBV-DUTPase protein, and the Barnden group and the brainstem. Unlike broader areas of ME/CFS research, such as metabolomics, cytokines, and exercise physiology, these groups' findings have not received as much support from the ME/CFS research field. Each, though, has produced a significant body of research. No group better illuminates this pattern than Sonia Marshall Grandisnuk's work with TRPM3 ion channels at Griffith University in Australia over the past 8 years. The Griffith group works on other factors in ME/CFS as well. Since the publication of the first TRPM3 paper in 2016, aptly titled Novel Identification and Characterization of Transient Receptor Protein Mellastatin 3 Ion Channels, the group has published no less than 17 papers on the possibility that disruptions in the TRPM3 and other TRPM ion channels are contributing to ME/CFS. While ion channelopathies were proposed to play a role in ME/CFS as early as 2000, it's safe to say that TRPM3 channels were on no one's radar before 2016. Messed up sodium-calcium ion channels? Ion channels let ions like sodium, potassium, calcium, and chloride pass through the cellular membranes into the cell where they affect all sorts of cellular functions. The TRPM3 ion channels control the flow of sodium and calcium into the cells. These ions are a big deal. Calcium plays a role in everything from energy production, muscle contraction, neurotransmitters, gene expression, and cell death. Sodium helps maintain the health of the cell membranes and plays a role in electrical signal generation, fluid balance, nutrient transport, and others. Problems with these small channels have been implicated in a broad range of diseases, including migraine, epileptic encephalopathies, chronic pain, low back pain, blood vessel functioning, cerebral palsy, eye diseases, and more. TRPM3 channelopathies can have such a wide reach because they're found on sensory neurons, on smooth muscle in the blood vessels, brain and spinal cord, skin, pancreas, kidney, ovaries, pituitary gland, and the testes. Griffith's TRPM3 gambit. Griffith's TRPME/CFS study, and you can see the link for that in the text version of the article, was driven by numerous findings of NK cell dysfunction in ME/CFS. Seeking an answer to them, the group looked for ways that calcium signaling, a key factor in NK cell cytotoxicity, might be impaired and found it. Increased levels of genetic polymorphisms in TRPM3 and TRPM8 ion channels and acetylcholine receptors in ME/CFS suggested something had gone wrong. From there, the hunt was on. The next two studies found reduced levels of TRPM3 ion channels on natural killer, down 50%, and B cells, and an accompanying reduction in intracellular calcium in ME/CFS. Noting that the endogenous opioid system and TRPM3 receptors are involved in pain production, three lab studies found a new reason low-dose naltrexone might work when it does. Naltrexone restored the TRPM3 ion channel activity in ME/CFS patients and reestablished the appropriate calcium 2 signaling. An overexpression of TRPM2 channels on NK cells and in TRPM7 ion channels pointed to more possible problems with calcium mobilization in ME/CFS. Recent studies also found dysfunctional TRPM3 ion channels in Gulf War illness and long COVID. While most of the Griffith studies have been very small, they have consistently pointed to TRPM3 ion channel dysfunction in ME/CFS and Gulf War illness and long COVID. TRPM3 supersized? With the recent publication of the paper, Potential Pathophysiological Role of the Ion Channel TRPM3 in Myalgic Encephalomyelitis, Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, and the Therapeutic Effect of Low-Dose Naltrexone, Wirth and Lone, perhaps not surprisingly, joined the TRPM3 fray. In 2016, Wirth and Scheibenbogen proposed that intracellular calcium problems driven by problems with a sodium transporter played a core role in the energy production problems in ME/CFS. Since then, in a series of hypothesis papers, Wirth has greatly extended their original ideas. See below. Wirth and Lone started their present hypothesis paper on an expansive note, stating that it is unlikely that ion channel dysfunction in ME/CFS is limited to a single organ or cell type, and asserting, an isolated TRPM3 dysfunction in NK cells alone does not satisfactorily explain the pathophysiological role of TRPM3 in ME/CFS. They also pointed out how different diseases like ME/CFS may be. While increased TRPM3 activity and calcium levels have been associated with ME/CFS-like symptoms, such as cognitive and musculoskeletal problems and pain, the TRPM3 problems in ME/CFS involve a loss of function, i.e. reduced TRPM3 activity and reduced calcium levels. Until ME/CFS popped up, no diseases had been associated with reduced TRPM3 functioning. They explained how a disruption of these small but ubiquitous ion channels in the small nerve fibers and the brain could play a large role in ME/CFS. They believe that underactive TRPM3 ion channels may result in reduced CGRP levels, leaving the blood vessels in a vasoconstricted or tightened down state. A key theme in the original hypothesis, reduced CGRP levels result in sodium overload, increased intracellular calcium levels, and ultimately mitochondrial dysfunction. Moving on to the small nerve fibers, they write, quote, it is difficult to believe that a functional defect of TRPM3, as found in natural killer cells, should not be finally involved in the degeneration of small nerve fibers, end quote. And then proposed that the TRPM3-induced nerve degeneration may contribute to, quote, microcirculatory disturbances, radicular compression, reactive oxygen species, and autoantibodies, end quote. In the brain, they propose underactive TRPM3 channels may be inhibiting the production of the feel-good chemical GABA, since GABA inhibits the excitatory neurotransmitter glutamate. Reduced GABA activity could result in the hypervigilance and elevated sympathetic nervous system activity, fight-flight, found in ME/CFS. They noted that the brain overstimulation that's probably present exerts a double whammy by taking place in a brain that's already deprived of normal amounts of blood, i.e. energy. That energy mismatch, high energy demand, low energy levels, leads to cognitive problems, brain fog, and hypersensitivities to noise, light, and other sensory inputs. because the GABA system also regulates muscle tone and tension, they propose that TRPM3 dysfunction may contribute to skeletal muscle pathophysiology, leading to muscle fatigue and post-exertional malaise, or PEM. Furthermore, the increased blood pressure, heart, and skeletal muscle tone produced by mental stress results in more energy consumption, putting more stress on a broken energy production system, causing more calcium overload, and impairing blood flow to the muscles, leading to skeletal muscle damage and mitochondrial dysfunction. That's an interesting idea given the muscle pain I often associate with mental exertion. Overall, they propose that, quote, TRPM3 dysfunction has significant pathophysiological potential, contributing to malperfusion, mitochondrial dysfunction, and small fiber degeneration in ME/CFS, end quote. They asserted that, quote, investigating TRPM3 dysfunction could be crucial for advancing our understanding of the pathophysiology of these conditions. Treatments? TRPM3 agonists, enhancers. The article does not discuss treatments, but some TRPM3 enhancing drugs have been developed, and a recent review called TRPM3, quote, a new kid on the block in pain treatment, the pregnenolone possibility. The best known source, pregnenolone sulfate, is a supplement, a precursor to estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and cortisol. Pregnenolone sulfate, or PS, is called a neurosteroid, a steroid produced in the brain that modulates nervous system excitability. Dr. Myhill calls pregnenolone the mother and grandmother of all steroid hormones. Dr. Teitelbaum reported that he commonly finds dramatically low pregnenolone levels in people with ME/CFS, which he believes are a sign of infection. While he stated that he found pregnenolone can help, he reported that taking it in combination with other supplements can be more effective. In 2011, he recommended that ME/CFS patients who are not taking statins and have low or low normal pregnenolone or low cholesterol levels add CoQ10, 200 to 400 milligrams a day, pregnenolone, 100 to 200 milligrams a day, and omega fish oil for 3 months. If your illness had a flu-like onset, he recommends taking zinc 25 milligrams a day for 3 months, then 15 milligrams daily from then on, and possibly adding a statin drug for a couple of months. Referring to the chronic stress ME/CFS patients' bodies are under, Dr. Myhill wrote that pregnenolone may be particularly pertinent in the treatment of chronic fatigue syndrome. During chronic stress, the pregnenolone steal results in more stress hormones being produced at the cost of sex hormones such as testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone. Adding in more pregnenolone helps to rebalance the stress and sex hormones. Myhill uses an adrenal stress profile test to determine if a deficiency of cortisol is present, and if so, uses pregnenolone in 50 milligram capsules that she suggests absorbing under the tongue. Dr. Ronald Hoffman of Intelligent Medicine reports that PS is an endocannabinoid akin to CBD, cannabidiol, and like CBD, can help with pain, mood, and improve memory. He states that PS was briefly used as an anti-inflammatory in the 50s, but its poor bioavailability led to it being abandoned. Worried about its effects on DHEA and other hormones, he used it in small amounts in his patients until two studies using 500 milligrams a day found that it helped with low back pain and depression. He wrote that PS, pregnenolone sulfate, is now being studied in multiple sclerosis to dampen neuroinflammation. Still, given its potential effects on hormones, he recommends that it be taken under the supervision of a health practitioner and that baseline blood levels of pregnenolone and its metabolites be assessed over time. His bottom line is as follows, quote, pregnenolone's wide range of benefits its relative freedom from side effects, the reassuring fact that it's one of the body's most prevalent natural hormones, and its ubiquity as an over-the-counter supplement warrant its investigation for a wide range of ailments for which there exist few safe and effective options. End quote. Drugs. A TRPM3 enhancing drug called nifedipine is used mostly to relax blood vessels and to allow more blood to flow in and treat esophageal spasms. It appears to be a cousin to nimodipine, which can be helpful in ME/CFS. And you can see the link to the nimodipine article in the link in the text version of the article. Perhaps the most potent TRPM3 enhancer, a drug called CIMO216, is available only for research purposes. On a longer time frame, there's the drug Worth and Company are attempting to bring to market to treat ME/CFS. Conclusion. Time will tell if Marshall, Greta Snuck, and Worth and Lone are correct that dysfunctional TRPM3 ion channels are contributing to or even causing ME/CFS and similar diseases. The evidence for TRPM3 dysfunction in ME/CFS, quite a few positive small studies, is broad but shallow, and bigger studies are needed. Still, it is good to see two different groups, the Griffiths group, with its focus on immune cells, and the Worth and Lone, with their focus on blood vessel functioning and energy production, mesh. While eyes may glaze over at the advent of yet another new hypothesis, each one opens a new window and a new way of looking at these diseases. I remember thinking at one time that the field was stagnant and searching for new ideas. No more. With more eyes than ever taking a gander at these diseases, more and more creative ideas are emerging. Coming up, a review of an ME/CFS long COVID hypothesis focused on infection and vaccines, inflammation, and importantly, the HPA axis, the hypocortisolemic ASIA hypothesis. And you can see several links to the Worth series of ME/CFS hypothesis papers in the text version of the article.